Hello and welcome to the second episode of the podcast Metadata Podcast Project about Metadata Podcasts or Podcast Metadata. I can't even remember at this point. So I am once again still Samuel Hansen, and I am joined by my partners on this project.
Hannah Majeska.
And I'm still Claire Michaud.
And I'm Michaela Roberts.
And we are here to talk about our UW-Madison LIS-632 final project about podcast metadata, which legitimately you probably got from the title of this show and the fact that the only reason that you are potentially listening to this is because you are already in that class with us. In the first episode, we discussed the characteristics of the collection and the users that we first see for the collection. And on this episode, we're going to talk about the actual elements that we decided to include, as well as ways of taking those elements and, you know, crosswalking them nice and slowly across a busy street into a couple of very common standard metadata schemas. And we will get to all of this right after this little clip of music. To start with the content of the schema, what we did is we went through the RSS feed, which is already the home of a ton of metadata about any podcast on the collection level or any episode of a podcast. And really, we took in almost all of the different RSS fields as descriptive metadata fields and a couple of technical ones, such as enclosure length, into our metadata scheme. Now, most of these are, as we mentioned in the first episode, just user-generated content. There's no control on them, but it's still the metadata, the canonical metadata about a podcast. So we decided to use it in general without doing any sort of norming or changing. We are just going to keep what the podcast author put out there, except for podcast language, which we are actually norming to the table of language culture names, which is maintained by Microsoft. We decided not to use ISO 639 because the majority of existing podcast feeds actually use this other language scheme, and it is maintained and it does have some mappings to ISO 639. So it should be pretty easy to go back and forth. And then there are a couple of just podcast RSS metadata elements that are controlled by their very nature. And those are podcast categories, which actually are driven directly off of a list of categories that iTunes created well over a decade ago at this point. And even Google uses this for the Google Play category. Apple uses this for the iTunes category elements within podcast RSS feeds. And then also there is a podcast type element, which is a relatively new element. It was added to RSS feeds within the last year. So there's not that many podcasts that use it, but if they do use it, if that element is included in the RSS feed, it has two choices. It can either be episodic or serial. For the rest of the elements, such as title, iTunes subtitle, which we just changed to subtitle in our schema, or keywords, all of these things we just are taking in from the RSS feed and storing as is within our schema. But not all of the elements of the schema are just these user-generated things. We do also have some non-user-generated elements.
Yeah, exactly. And so just two elements that are notoriously slippery, where the metadata creator expert has to kind of search for them, are as the contributor info element and the podcast network info element, which has the sub elements of advertising network, distribution network, and production network. So for both of those, the metadata expert can go to the show's page, the end credits. They can look at iTunes for what that is to find that information and input it into the value of the element. For contributor info, we advised that the metadata expert use the PBCorp contributor role list, just because they could probably find that information in the RSS feed, but it's just better to have a more controlled vocabulary to draw from so that you know exactly whether to call this person the narrator or the producer or whatever that is the most appropriate title for them. So to find the values for other elements, you would look in the podcaster database or the podcaster file system. Some of these elements are ingest info, which you can take directly from the podcaster database. And then all of the values for the element episode file info and all of its sub elements can be taken directly from the podcaster file system. So that works very similar to pulling it from the RSS feed. So those are just some examples of some of our elements that aren't in the RSS feed but can still be found via other resources. So now let's talk about how to go from our element schema to other schemas.
Okay, so our schema can certainly be walked to the lowest common denominator, which is Dublin Core. But it's a pretty big challenge to map from such a rich schema to such a simple element set. It's like going from Technicolor to black and white. You lose a lot of the nuance, you lose a lot of the quality, and Dublin Core is just really not a good fit for expressing the myriad of data that comes along with podcasts.
I mean, all of that said, Hannah, you still said that it is technically possible. So, like, can you give some of the examples of, like, how at least some of these elements do map, like some examples of the elements that actually you can crosswalk?
Sure. So you can crosswalk some of the contributor information. You're going to consolidate a lot because Dublin Core really only allows for contributor and creator information to be expressed. So you'll lose elements like roles, but you can definitely keep all of the names, which help in searching. And then obviously basic elements like title, language, things like that will all track really well.
What are some examples of the things that we are definitely going to lose? Like, what in no way transfers?
So a lot of the episode detail information doesn't transfer. So things like season, episode number doesn't transfer. A lot of the technical metadata won't transfer, like the original name of the file location, the file internal name. Most of the technical metadata will be lost between our schema and Dublin Core.
We also looked at how to map our schema to MODS, which is the metadata object description schema. And that mapping was significantly richer than a Dublin Core mapping would be, but we did still lose a lot. A lot of our more specific element names, like ID, which falls under item info, as well as type, which also falls under item info, everything kind of just generally mapped to the MODS element identifier, as did certain more technical elements like the RSS URL, the iTunes ID. These can be vastly different things to a podcast object.
If someone was trying to do this crosswalk and they had all of these different things going to identifier, like, would you suggest as developing this crosswalk to use all of them as like identifier just listed multiple times, or is there a suggestion that you have as to which one to actually put in there?
That's a very good question. I think it would be more worthwhile to perhaps just choose one, and maybe since this collection is so reliant on RSS, to maintain that as the primary identifier when mapping to something more general.
Okay. So, I mean, that's for a podcast. So how about for just an episode?
So for episodes, I'd recommend combining the RSS feed and the GUID, because the GUIDs are unique within an RSS. This maintains RSS as the driver of the collection and simplifies the cataloging and crosswalking process.
Were there any sort of elements that just, same thing that I asked Hannah, that just definitely don't fit into MODS?
No, I was able to make everything work pretty well, actually. It's just that some did kind of, the meaning was lost a bit. And again, as well as with identifier, I felt that the physical description element of MODS, while applicable to episode detail info that we have, just didn't really do it our element justice.
Okay, and so those are the crosswalks and some information about the elements. We will be including in the podcast feed actual full element list with content guidelines, as well as the crosswalks that we were talking about as files that will appear after this episode in the feed. So you can definitely grab those. So just as a way to close all of this out, I'd like everyone to share one thing that they learned either about metadata or about podcasts during the creation of this project. I'm not going to start with Michaela because she broke and she has Claire laughing too. So how about you, Hannah?
I learned that RSS feeds contain a lot of metadata.
We haven't talked about this yet, but I learned about the significance of JSON in the podcasting community and why that might be a better format for submitting metadata than an XML file.
Well, while Michaela is trying to think of an answer to this question, I will actually say that a lot of the things about podcasts that we've talked about were things that I've had to learn for my job around podcasts or from my many, many, many years of being a podcaster. So instead, I'm going to discuss a little bit about metadata, where I sort of learned that you can use pretty much whatever you want to be a controlled vocabulary as long as it's a well-maintained and curated list. In particular, I really like that we are able to use a Wikipedia article about list of file formats because it took a lot of searching before I stumbled upon this Wikipedia list, which is legitimately where I probably should have thought of starting, trying to find some canonical list of all file formats. But there's new file formats that happen all the time. And so you really actually do need something that's crowdsourced and easily updatable for a thing like file formats, if you want a controlled vocabulary there.
Yeah. So to go back and answer your question, this is a very simple answer, but it's the one I'm going to go for. I am not someone who listens to podcasts very much. And so before, you know, starting this project, I didn't know much about podcasts at all. And so I feel like I've learned a lot about the kind of the technical back end of what it takes to create a podcast, what it takes to distribute it, and then here what it takes to make it findable to many different user communities, which I am now a part of, whereas I wasn't before. So, yeah.
On such a nice note, I think that we will end this. So for Kayla, Claire, and Hannah, this is Samuel saying, keep your podcast metadata rich. Thank you for listening.
I like that close.
Yeah. Close.